Okay, all right.
Okay, call to order our Stansbury Park Improvement District meeting. It is January 21st, it's 4:04 PM. In attendance is myself, Brock Griffith, Neil Smart, Jacob Clegg as board members, Brett Palmer, manager, Brendan Thorpe, engineer, Candy, recorder.
Minutes.
Minutes, okay, forgive me.
Christine.
Christine and Daryl. Okay. We'll go to item number two. Discuss cost proposal from Streamline to migrate to StansburyWater.gov website and vendor information and contract approval.
You're up, Christine.
I put all the information in there. It's pretty self-explanatory. We just need to move to...
It's in our email.
Yeah, it was in the email. We have to move to the .gov per se because the government says so. So right now, our website is not in compliant. It's not ADA compliant. There's quite a few things that are not great with it. So we're proposing to go to Streamline that will make sure that we're compliant in all areas. So that, and we'll be able to upload things in a timely manner and not have to call our IT guy to do that. Right now we can't upload any documents or move anything around. This is going to be more user friendly for the office staff to be able to put our agenda, our meeting minutes, and all of those things up there for everybody to see.
Okay. So is that the $300 a month?
Yes.
Plus the $500.
Plus the $500 build cost or whatever
yes.
it is? Okay. Bars. Yeah. Part of doing business, I'd imagine. So,
what's our current cost on a website monthly with their IT people?
When he has to post stuff, he'll send a bill for posting, but there's not a monthly service, a set service fee.
So when we want to. When we've got to call these guys up and ask questions or have them do anything, is that included in the
It's 300? Part of the fee.
Part of the fee.
The monthly fee, so.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
How do you feel about it, Jake? You got a little grimace on your face. 300 votes seems like it's a little bit to me, but.
Every month seems like a lot. I guess my only reservation or hesitation is just, as long as we use it, I think we'll get our money's worth, but it's just making sure that it's getting utilized.
What's our contract if we decide that we would rather go back to a per use fee?
We can terminate the user fee. It just won't have any support. And any company that you go with will have fees associated with it. The North Tooele County Fire Department has gone with this setup along with I know the guy at Ashley Valley Improvement District that they're highlighting in this mm-hmm. ad, and I called him and asked what he thought about it, and he said it was good. Tooele County is using another service. The service agency is using another service. There's pros and cons, but every one of them have a cost associated with it.
Is it nice just to know the fixed thing that you're not going to get like nickel and dime every time you have to call for support or things like that? Or is that a system that's so simple that over time you just answer your own questions and you
know? It may be. I mean, what you've had more conversation with them.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be more user-friendly. I don't know if we'll have a whole lot of after we start getting up using it, but they do monitor it to make sure that we're ADA compliant at all times. So it doesn't matter what kind of document we upload, they will make sure that that document is ADA compliant. So we'll always be compliant within the government guidelines, because that's all they strictly work with is districts. They don't go outside that. So they're just for government websites is all.
Do you happen to know what these other communities are paying for their services?
Yes, I do.
And
it's on my desk.
And how does this compare to those, Brett?
The other, like the service agency, I think, I don't understand it completely, but limited knowledge that I have with the service agency is they're migrating all of their old emails so it can be tracked in for grammar requests. And so they may be, part of their services may include that, where we're not, we're just looking at the web hosting. And so I haven't been able to figure out exactly like apples to apples costs, but this is, from what I checked into, this is cheaper than what, the only experience I have is with the service agency, so I don't have any more information to share on that.
I would say maybe we try it, and after a while, if we've realized that we're not using them that much as far as, you know, coming in for IT help, but if it's, you know, if there's a way just to click the button for the ADA stuff to say, hey, this is user-friendly that way down the road, but I agree that maybe we start this and then watch it and just make sure it's not something that we're just throwing $300 at it, throw $300 at it.
Right. Yeah.
That sound?
Yeah, sounds good.
So, you still entertaining a motion?
Sure, I'll entertain a motion.
A motion to approve the proposed, the proposal for streamlined migrate Stansbury water.gov website with vendor information and contract approval.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Item number 3, board selection and approval of chairman, treasurer, and clerk for 2020.
Sorry. While you're getting that, I'll make a motion that we keep things the same.
So motion denied. So currently we have, isn't it Jake?
What were you saying?
Currently we have Brock serving as chairman, Jody as treasurer in the office, and Merlin as clerk in the office. So that's the current organization.
I'm actually trickling over into January.
Yeah, you've at least got one off my plate, is that
yeah,
what you're saying?
Yeah.
I'm fine if you want me to run it for the year.
Are you good
yeah.
with that?
Yeah.
All right. So do we need to vote on that? Okay.
I motion
that we, that Neil step in as board chair, and we keep Jody as the treasurer, and Marilyn as the clerk.
I'll agree with that after this meeting. So,
okay.
Since you're already going through and it's probably got your name on the paperwork, you might as well sign as the chairman one more day.
Okay.
So,
all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. New chair after this meeting.
Okay.
All other chairman treasurer will remain the same. And clerk. Okay, manager operation report, item number 4.
Okay, I don't really have anything to report other than, you know, if you have any questions on manager's report that I can answer
what's
for
the,
you.
What's the power going in next to the fire station or whatever? Is that power?
It is power. I don't know what it's for.
Okay, well, none of our dealings. I just seen that Stansbury truck out there, and I was like...
Well, they're probably blue staking or something like that. They've been potholing for the water line, so when they do bore, they will hopefully miss our utilities.
Okay.
Let's see. I will tell you on item number 7, Joe White spoke to their proposed buyers for Ochre Point lots. And because of the outs that SPID has in the agreement, they won't close on the property because they feel like they don't have any guaranteed connections. You can chime in, Daryl, but that's basically what Joe has told me. So I guess we can cover that though on the next
item.
Yeah. Other than that, we had a water leak, water service leak on Spring Street. Let's see. The cleaning contractors for the water tanks are scheduled to come tomorrow morning. They'll be here at 7:30 to start the cleaning the culinary water tanks. We do that once every 5 or 6 years to clean the silt and sediment out of them. They disinfect. It's done with scuba diving in a vacuum, so they disinfect all of their suits and their hoses, and then they enter from the top of the tank, and they have like a basically a vacuum that sucks the silt and sediment off the floor of the tank. And so they'll be here tomorrow for that. Ochre Mountain Water Company. Job. What's that?
Not a bad job, little Mr. Scuba Diver here.
Ochre Mountain Water Company has needed to use the interconnect for some maintenance on their tanks. So that's been going on for about a week now, and they'll be done here within the next couple days.
Okay.
And other than that, that's pretty much it.
Brett, we'll go to item number 5, Spit Ochre Point Improvement District Temporary Sewer Service Agreement Update. So I'm guessing that's part of
the update. Yeah, so as part of that, I received an email from Joe White today. I met with him last week and then again today. I haven't had a chance to really review the email yet, but he's going to propose some alternatives to the district to consider. Gerald, if you have anything else to add, you can add at this time.
So I'm getting this secondhand because Joe and yourself met, so you're going to have to correct me. This is the little bit that I understand, but again, you were in the conversations with Joe. So Brett's right, when we took when our buyers, Lennar and AMH, wanted to review the documents, they reviewed the SPID, OPID, interlocal agreement, and the number of outs in there were just, and it makes sense. I mean, they're not going to write a check and buy 800 lots and then have no guarantee that there would be any sewer service to it. So Joe, I think, has proposed, and as I understand it, that we OPID, and I think you can look at it different ways, what you want to call it, but we'll give SPID $1.5 million shortly, you know, here very soon. And then another $500,000 at the connection of the 600th unit to the SPID system. The impact fee, which I assume came from your guys' study. I don't know where it came from, but Joe said a $2,200 impact fee, which I assume is the treatment that you guys, your study maybe produced, but $2,200.
So just to be clear on that, he doesn't know what that is, and we don't know what that fee is.
Okay, well, I don't
know. So I think he was just saying, what is your current fee? So that number, we don't know what it will be, but anyway.
Okay, so whatever it is, but I think we were thinking, we were collecting $3,000, we were giving you guys $2,200 of it. So Joe must have come up with that number somewhere for all of the connections. I mean, meaning as they were connected, I think a recording of plat, you get that amount. And I don't know what that works out to be. It's a few million bucks. And then SPID would agree to take our units for just the treatment, only the treatment, you know, for forever. Would be just provide the sewer treatment for our units forever. I think that the number is $3,200. Or it's the $888, I guess we can figure out where we get to, but I think it's for the $3,200 that eventually OPID will be providing. My understanding is that between those numbers of the $1.5 million, the $500,000, the impact fee, it gets SPID however many million, that I think is enough to upgrade your system to well beyond the $3,000 and maybe even $4,000 or $5,000 beyond that, and then SPID would just have all of that added capacity to do what with, you know, whatever you wanted, meaning as people needed to connect, as the capacity is already created there. And so I think our understanding or our vision of it is, you know, we give you the $2 million now and then all the connection fees, that should upgrade your system to where it needs to provide way beyond what we're asking for and give you a whole lot of extra capacity to sell otherwise. Does that sound right, Brett, or am I misinterpreting?
I think that's fairly correct on what Joe is proposing. And I guess what we would need to do is just take a look at it and see if that's something that... So part of our conversation is that I had Joe give a second opinion from another attorney to see if we could actually accept the 1.5 or 2 million, whatever it is, and still be within the legal bounds of our charter. So he's provided that. So once we can gather and wrap our head around what's being proposed, then we can come back to you and give you some options.
Have you heard back on that second opinion?
Yeah. I just received an email about an hour ago from Joe, but I haven't
opened it or anything.
I've opened it. I read through it real quickly, but I'm not prepared to talk about
sure.
it.
Sure.
Let me give you just a little color on that as I understand it. So we did ask our attorney, Tom Chekas, to provide a legal opinion on impact fees and how could SPID accept this money. To give you a little bit of background, Tom Chekas spent his career in the world of impact fees. So I don't know exactly how he played in the role and what side and everything, but I think you've all heard of the huge lawsuit down in Washington County where Washington County Improvement District, I think, was collecting all kinds of impact fees. I think it was proposed for a line to come over from Lake Powell or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then Washington County lost that lawsuit, or the Improvement District or whatever they are down there lost that. Well, Tom was one of, I think he was on the not Washington County side, I think he was on the plaintiff side of it. That was him. And so it's literally where he spent a good chunk of his career. I know that Tom also went and met with Jordan Colomore. And Jordan Colomore is the Utah State Property Rights Ombudsman. And so Jordan's office, he has a number of attorneys that work for him, and their job is just to help answer land use questions. And Jordan told him, well, it's not an impact fee. A relationship between an improvement district to an improvement district, that's an interlocal agreement. That's not an impact fee. An impact fee is something that a developer pays. And so I think that you'll find that the legal opinion is favorable, that it can occur. And also I think that when we look at the agreement that we signed, the one that we already have signed, we were paying a reservation fee already in there. So SPID was already comfortable to accept a reservation fee as not being an impact fee. And so if we need to call this a reservation fee or prepay, you know, I mean, that reservation fee was over time. So if we just need to prepay it, we can do it that way. But I think that we, for a number of months now, have been concerned about could SPID accept the money because it was an impact fee. Well, I don't think it is an impact fee. And I think that's what the attorneys are telling us, is that it's not an impact fee. It's,
and so when you just said, like, so the buyers wouldn't do it, so Joe asked, is it possible that we can take it permanently? The word permanently changes everything. The impact fee is fine, right? Once it's an impact fee? I mean, once it's permanent? It's an impact to the system, and it's not going away. You guys aren't taking it back, so you don't have to do any pro rata stuff or anything
but
like that.
But this is in addition.
I know the number was made up, but the $2,200 was the impact fee. This is in addition to that.
Gotcha. Okay.
So yeah, so you get the impact fee plus $2 million.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. So maybe it is just the concern of how do we cover the
so the concern million. Is how to word the $2 million. You know, reservation fee or you know, whatever.
Reservation fee, or maybe it's just a prepaid connection fee or prepaid impact. I don't know if you do prepaid. Probably shouldn't call it impact in any fashion. So prepaid reservation fee or just an interlocal agreement. And I know it's probably not one for one, apples for apples, but I got thinking today while I was driving, right now Erta City is paying Twilla County to do their roads, to be their cop. Those are probably the only two things, right?
Fire department?
Well, no, because it's all North Twilla, so.
Yeah.
But right now, Erta City is paying Twilla County to provide two services. Do everything with their roads, including maintenance, upgrades, repairs, everything, and provide the sheriff to be their cop. Well, I don't know that this is any different than that. You know, it may not be truly one for one, but it's just an agreement between two government entities, and one's paying the other to do something. I'll be clear. Our thought is, why are we going to have two sets of lagoons? You know, why do we have two sets of lagoons out here? I also know, and this may be going a little beyond it, but, you know, I know that there's some discussions that OPID could help find some ground and stuff to expand as we need to, your guys' lagoons and stuff like that. So, of course, we'll help with all of that in any fashion that's necessary.
Good thoughts.
How soon can you guys have thoughts on that?
We will. So number one, our focus is going to be on sewer treatment. You guys can direct me however you want to direct me. We had the agreement, we pushed through that, we got that done. Our focus has got to be sewer treatment. We can have some information for you at next board meeting. I just don't know how much it's going to be. However, so if you guys want us to focus our priority on this, then that's where we'll focus it. Or if you want us to focus on this.
Well, both of them have, you know, where they're both going to be bringing revenue, obviously, to the, you know, they're both important. That's important, but if this is something that can be worked out and it's something that's going to be a permanent thing that we could possibly do, and it helps, you know, I'm not saying we're hurting, because I don't think we're hurting at all, but, right?
Right.
But if it helps financially for us to do that, and it doesn't hurt us capacity-wise, I think it's a discussion worth having.
I agree. All I'm saying is, like,
yeah,
then we've got to get this done, and so it's hard. I'm not saying that we can't have good information at next board meeting, but for us to say we're going to be 100% ready to make a decision at next board meeting on Ochre Point's agreement, I don't know that I'm comfortable saying that. We can do our best. We can have good information to talk. But that's just off the top of my head, thinking out loud. It's hard right now. We've got, well, go ahead.
I'm just going to ask a question for clarification. Because I haven't read the email. I saw it. I was running out the door. But is it a proposal for permanent treatment? Did I understand that correctly? That's the kind of the change. I get the money part, and that's one legal. That may be beyond, you know, my or your expertise to weigh in on how. I mean, that's one part of it to work through. The other part is, though, did I understand correctly that the proposal going forward is going to be for permanent connection to this for the treatment plant, or are you going to disconnect?
So I think the proposal that I haven't seen the email, but my understanding is what was discussed was permanent.
That's what treatment. Joe wants. I didn't say yes or no.
Right. No, I understand that. So okay. He asked proposals.
I just wanted to make sure because what my comment is. If that's the proposal, and we need to evaluate that and make recommendation to the board, that will affect your It's going to affect your service areas.
I know, you've already said no.
What we put in motion here, 2.7 million gallons per day, may most likely will be affected, maybe not, but most likely it will, there will have to be an adjustment on that. And that's another conversation. So that may be the first conversation to have, is that how does that impact what we've put in motion?
So maybe this conversation needs to be solved before you can get to that conversation, because it's going to impact that conversation.
How many
3,200.
Units, I guess.
3,200 ERUs. Well, I don't know if that's ERU or...
It's all, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Okay. That's everything.
ERU.
400,000 gallons a day.
Okay, so that is definitely we need to see how that impacts the options that we have on the table, because we've talked about the differences between them, which I'm going to try to tell you about in 90 seconds or less on one of these agenda items, but that will definitely affect these options and how we've approached this so far. So it's not entirely independent?
100%, right.
Now, I think that's the proposal, because we think that makes the most sense. But we may be completely up at night. The other one is that if that isn't, then yeah, if we can figure out something that where we can edit, adjust the current agreement so we can satisfy our buyers and then disconnect at some point in the future, I guess that's, you know, we're open to anything on the table. And so if we need to figure out how to make this SPID comfortable with some level of commitment to those 600 that we've agreed to, we can go down that route and happy to do that. It just seems to me that I hope we've incentivized SPID enough that the other one makes the most sense.
I mean, is it crazy to think that maybe someday, not too far distant, that obviously IRTA's not going to put in their own system, you know, just like they... You know, and Chris Robinson probably wants to talk to us about a collaborative effort. Is it too far-fetched to believe that someday, not too far distant, that we'll be combining all of it and taking all of it? I don't know. I'm just...
Well, that is a nuance of this discussion, because adding 3,200 units to your treatment plant, I mean, you've done more than crack the door open. That's enough density. It's not going to happen in the next 20 years of perhaps the life expectancy of your treatment plant, but you have to now, maybe it's a paradigm shift in thinking that while you may still build something to 2.7 million gallons per day, you have to legitimately keep in mind that you've now expanded your service area, and you need to be able to expand it to the next level instead of drawing your service boundary and saying this is good.
Right. So is it a better product for our people in the boundary right now and outside if we build a better facility and have more contributors like Lake Point and IRTA, and well, you have a better ball field to play on?
You're probably looking at a different type of treatment system. Perhaps.
Yeah.
Again, we've got some options here that maybe can get you up to 3.5 million gallons, but it's still upgrades on your head workstation and you know, the next step. And that's fine. But with an expanded service area, you're going to dilute that extra cost by having more impact fee revenue come through your district as well. It's just a different way of looking at it. It's the opposite way that we've been looking narrower over the last several months with the temporary connection. Okay. This is
a different
cause
proposal.
You to think. You're gonna have to look over here and look at what happens when you widen the service area and what this does to your options you're going to look at, which is eventually going to lead into an impacting facilities plan and a treatment up there.
So in the meantime, you've got an email you need to review to find out how you feel about the attorney, the third party's opinion on whether we can even collect this money. I think that's going to help us make a decision or not. We don't want to paint ourselves in the corner.
Yeah.
I think, in my opinion, I want to hear what you come back with that, Brett. Because if we're barking up the wrong tree, then some of these conversations aren't even worth having. We're going down a rabbit hole for no reason at all.
Yeah. No, we can definitely circle around and make sure that Checkitz is, I don't have any reason to doubt him.
No, but you haven't even had a chance to read it yet, so
we just need to, vet that and make sure
look at it, let us know how you feel. Let us know
that we can do, no problem.
Let us know what's available, and then we can make an educated decision on where to step next.
Yeah.
So maybe just one final comment on this, and so you understand why, and maybe you do, but the conversations that we've had with legal counsel and also with Lewis Robertson, they're public finance professionals. They have expertise in the impact fee law, and so I'm just a technical number cruncher, and we lean on them to guide us in this, to protect the district in what we can and can't do according to the law. So that's why Brett asked for that. But what we've heard back on our end continually is the advice and the recommendation and the caution that the district is, as a public entity, it can't be a for-profit organization. Now, I don't know how that changes when district to district, because we don't know. We've been talking about it in terms of impact fees and how that can work, and we've been guided in the warning that you, at the end of the day, even the reservation fee, it has to have a basis, and it has to be justifiable to collect that, whatever you call it. It has to have some basis in a net zero, it's got to be a net zero intake and out. What goes in has to go out in that balance. So that's always been our concern.
The handicap is stuff is that we, like, hey, we're gonna
that 150 million or the that 1.5 million or 1 million or whatever it is has to be justified in some way as a neutral number. So if it comes in, it has to be spent, and it can't just be a donation. I guess we can't receive that in a donation. That's my understanding. Is that your understanding from our conversations with our?
Yeah, but again, I mean, if we have.
So that's, I'm just telling you from our side, that's the counsel and recommendations that we get. So that's why you see it as a.
And I think that makes sense. I mean, the little bit that we're starting to hear, I mean, I think that's where Jordan Comer says it's not an impact fee. So hopefully that means we set the impact state statute aside.
It doesn't matter if it's an impact fee or a rate or a reservation fee or whatever you call it. It still has to be a net zero in and outflow of revenue.
Well, and I guess we were operating that you're going to take that $2 million and improve your equipment. And so to me that seems like a net zero. It didn't seem like it was going to any of the five of you.
That's what I was thinking too. It's like, okay, we're going to impact you 3,000 units. Here's 2 million to upgrade your system to upgrade it to half 3,000.
And hopefully that pays for your impact in the system.
Yeah, and again, it may not be the right analogy, but I know that Ertis City allowed the sheriff to keep a deputy on or two, meaning that when if Ertis City went away, then he's got too many deputies.
Let's just get opinions. We'll run it through our legal. They can chat back and forth, and we can sit here all day long trying to discuss it. But
agreed.
So we'll take it, and for sure we can have information to you as soon as we can on that.
Okay. Awesome.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You betcha.
Thanks, Daryl.
So that brings us to item number six, consideration and possible approval of water use rate study and fee increase timeline.
So I have placed in front of you our proposed water rates from, I think it was June of 2024. Because our sewer treatment option study is taking longer than anticipated, I'm wondering if the board would like to move forward with initiating the water rate, the storm drain usage fee, and our water impact fee. And if so, we can start deciding on how you want to handle that over a 5-year period, or what percentages you want to implement. Or we can just hold off on this until we finalize the sewer treatment fee and the sewer impact fee. I'm guessing we'll be 6 months out. Is that too long of a time or too short of a time?
Hopefully that's too long of a time, but you gotta get your alternatives analysis voted on, then the impact fee facilities plan done and approved, and then advertise, and then go through and then Lewisham has to do their rate analysis based on the data. So maybe.
But it's not going to be 3 months.
Well, this is for water, not
so
sewer.
So we have water. Water is all done.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of if you want to adopt the water and the water impact fee rate increase now, when it comes time to do the sewer, we would have to basically duplicate everything that we're doing on the water side. We'd have to have another public hearing for sewer. If you wanted to wait until both of them are done, then you can have one public hearing and only go through that process once. If we do the water rate and the impact fee now, we'll have to go through public hearing for that, and then in 4 to 6 months, do the same thing for the sewer. So those are the
how much money would we bring in the next 3 months?
We're going to leave a lot of money on the table for not adopting it now.
What's that?
We're going to leave a lot of money on the table for not adopting it now.
I agree. That's what I'm saying.
And the longer you wait, the more outdated your analysis becomes in the water impact fee facilities plan.
It looks like we're keeping the golf course at the same rates, not increasing.
Well, that's a discussion that
the service agency.
Mm-hmm. What's the compound meters like? What you see, like with 147 and 141? What's that related to?
The compound meter has a for high flows. It'll have a 4-inch meter. If they open up the flow all full.
Who does that apply to?
So the compound meter has like a 4-inch meter and a 1-inch meter.
Okay.
So there are certain parameters that a 4-inch meter will pick up, but when you start getting into low flows, it might not pick up 100 gallons.
It quits measuring it.
It'll quit measuring if you get under 100
gallons. No, I get that. Again, the meter works, but who has a meter like that? Who does that apply to?
High schools, churches, anybody that, not necessarily church, but anybody that has
it's going to have high peak demands and then low ones also. Okay. So it's kind of, so just picking up both of them. Like retail centers will have them, for example, if they're all on a shared meter.
Gotcha. That's what I was trying to figure out.
I'm sorry.
Where does that apply?
Okay.
So,
on the golf course, we're keeping it that rate.
So what happened at the last, I think it was 2016, the board talked about increasing the golf course rate from 45 cents per thousand to 50 cents per thousand. And then the service agency board came to the district and said, hey, can you take a look at this? And so the board agreed not to increase their rate to 50 cents. But on our spreadsheet that we provided Lewis Young, it gave the 50 cents per thousand on the golf course, which in reality they're only getting charged 45 cents. So they're saying that they're using their calculations based on 50 cents. So if the board decides to initiate what Lewis Young had, it would be a 5 cent raise per thousand gallons on the golf course from 45 to 50, even though it says zero here because
the golf course and the other parks they have, or just the golf course?
Just
area?
The golf course. The
what about these bigger parks they have?
I've got to.
It shows a service agency at 50 cents too, right?
So. I think the green belts are at 50, or, so everything's at 45 cents.
Yeah.
Not 50.
And we had employees at service agencies saying, well, if we don't water it, we don't have to mow it. That's why the park looks like it does. So I for one, I'm trying to do everything we can to make it affordable for them to water it. I'm tired of our park looking like it looks.
Oh, my golf course is looking nice too.
Right.
I agree, but they're also charging sports teams to go and play there too.
Yeah, but that just means they're going to charge the sports teams more. If we
they're getting hit twice though.
I mean, right.
They live in the district. They're paying.
They shouldn't
they're paying
charge.
It, and they're charging those sports teams
right,
again.
I agree.
So it's a little bit weird to me. Like, if you're going to charge for it, you got to pay for all the services. Why are you dinging the residents twice?
Right. Mr. Service Agency, how do you feel about that? Put your other hat on for a minute.
About. Increasing from 45 cents to 50?
Yeah, or whatever fee it might need to be.
Does it cost us the same as it did in 2016 to pump that water so they can water the grass?
I'm okay with, honestly, either scenario because we're either paying for it at SPID or they're paying for it. I mean,
tax dollars.
Tax dollars, subsidy wise, right?
I mean, what would it do to the golf course and the parks if we increase it like we're doing everything else? Like, are they going to be able to survive? I know how hard it is to keep a golf course afloat.
Yeah, they're going to be able to survive. I think that the culture over there needs to change. There needs to be people in positions to help that operation improve. I think Mac on the golf course is good, but I think that they have been told that we don't have any money, so that was before the tax increase money came. They have $1 million more to operate on now than they did last year. So they will have the ability to water the grass and hopefully get qualified staff on board to operate and maintain Stansbury like it should be maintained.
Oh, that'd be wonderful. That'd be so wonderful, that's so good. Well, I for one would like to increase the rates as soon as possible so we can get some money coming in. If the rates as indicated on this are in agreement with you guys, or if you feel we need to increase either the golf course or the service agency or both, I'll entertain a discussion on that.
Is this breaking up over 2 years? Is that what we discussed previously, Brad? I don't
So these are conversations like, so we can give Lewis Young. Right now they're proposing this increase over a 5-year period.
Right.
But the first 2 years get
the first 2 years is the big jump.
And so here's the reason why they did that. If you don't do the big jump at the first 2 years,
you never get it.
You're paying more money later on down the road.
Yeah. That's what they explained to us a couple months ago when they met with us. It seemed like we asked them for a couple of examples of what's the best way to catch up, and I'm wondering if this is what that is right now.
I don't believe so. This was, I can't remember. This was delivered in August of 2024. And then I think it was after this that you had some of that discussion. So if you would like me to go back to them and have them give us a few different scenarios, because they have the spreadsheet set up, they can punch in whatever number and it's pretty quick.
Are you prepared for a public meeting where you could answer all these questions?
Yeah, Lewis Young will be.
If you were on a fixed income, would you prefer to see the rates jump 2 years in a row, or would you rather see it all at once so you knew what you're going to get? And it would be the same. Does that question make sense? Somebody that's retired.
For me, if you're asking me.
I'm asking in general. You can answer, Brett. I'm just asking in general. Cammy can answer too. I'm asking in general.
I would rather have a little increase each year versus everything right up front. I mean, if this is 35%, 2025, 35% in 2026, and then 3% thereafter.
So you'd rather see that 70 over a 2 year period, and then the 3%. The 3% doesn't bother me so much. It's the 35 and 35 that it feels like a gut punch to me.
Right.
But I'm just.
So what? So for my little pea brain, what's 2030 look like?
As far as what?
Just keep continuing at 3%.
Well, at 2030, I guess that's a board's decision. Do you do 1% increase every year?
I think we're having this problem because the last board didn't go
and do anything.
Right. Let's add 2% or 5% every year. And I know that they're like, hey, we've got so much money. We're just great. Things are wonderful. But we're the ones that get the gut punch community because this hasn't been done. So what does 2030 look like and beyond?
I think that he discussed it in the board meeting, like Ogden City, they do.
He said we'll pick a small percentage and we'll reevaluate around 2032 and find out what that new percentage needs to be. And we're at 1.25, 1.5 from then on out, just to keep up with what it costs to pump.
Just inflation.
That's what it costs to pump.
And now you've caught up, and theoretically it's just.
You just got to keep up. Each one of us saw our utility bills. Sorry to cut you off, Brendan, but all of our power went up this last quarter. That's just what it costs, and each one of our wells runs on power. That's part of why I asked, is it still costing us the same 45 cents to produce that 1,000 gallons to the service agency? And the answer is no. It costs us more money. That's the short, quick answer.
Right.
So I do want to be fair, but I also want to be mindful of what it actually costs. Yeah. If it costs us more to pump that water to produce it than the 45 cents that we're getting per 1,000 gallons, I know I'm stepping back a little bit, but to me it's the same conversation. If it's costing us more than that, we need to be closing that gap so it's not getting pushed onto all of our other users.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. Because again, and Brett said it, we are, one way or another, we're paying for it. I get that. But they're collecting tax to pay for the parks already. So they should therefore pay for it with that fund, not be supplemented by us. That's my feeling.
I'm with you 100% on, but I also agree with Brett. It's like it's got to come from somewhere, and the subsidy, to me, where it's all coming from taxpayers one way or the other, but to me, whatever we can do to keep it affordable, because if we can get nice parks, we can have a beautiful golf course, that raises everybody's property values. That makes the whole community better. And so it's got to be paid for somewhere. They should be footing their own bill. We shouldn't have to be the ones footing it. So I think I'm in agreement 100% with what you're saying. And just I ultimately just wanting, if this was a service agency meeting, I'd just like, take care of your stuff. It's driving me bonkers, right? So however that can be solved, be a good thing. But if we do need to bump them more than 50 cents, I'm fine with that too. But I just want to see them
an improvement, a constant improvement.
If we pull the trigger on this, Brett, how soon will we be doing a public meeting?
I would say we would want to get geared up for our March billing to start that increase. And so it would be effective 1st of March. So between now and the 1st of March, we would have to hold public meetings and public notices, and then have it effective March 1st would be my guess.
I think you have 14-day, I think it's a 14-day notice.
Yeah, no, and all that makes sense. I'm just, in my head, I'm calculating, even if we started and pulled the trigger now, we're 1st of March before we can implement this. If we're listening to Brendan for the sewer study, sounds like best case is 6 months for the sewer. Then they have to, Lewis Young has to come and present to us. I mean, really, we're 9 months from now before we're talking about what those rates look like, and probably not implementing that until January 2025. That would put us, if we don't pull the trigger on this, one whole year behind, I believe. Does that sound about right? Based on, again, quick and dirty numbers on what we're being told.
That's reasonable.
But I don't want to kick the can a whole other year, guys. So
could I ask for one thing, if it doesn't slow the process down? I'd like to see what 25% increase in 25, 25% increase in 26, 25% increase in 2027, and then phase it out. So it's three a little bit smaller hits than 35%. And I know that's just kind of kicking the can down the road a little bit, but I just...
I wish I remembered what he said in August, because there's a sweet spot in there, you know, from what I remember.
And if
we went 3 years, it seems like we don't hit that spot. We don't catch up, and so it lasts.
But if we have this, if we have this and that to kind of just compare to.
Agreed, but it seemed like that sweet spot was 3 years.
I remember
you
said something like that. Yeah, but it's like, hey, we got to do it here, or you have this cliff you're falling off.
Or you're falling off the cliff and you'll be way beyond 10 years, is what I remember.
Or those jumps get larger.
Sure, yeah. Instead of 3%, it was like 6% or 8%, and that wasn't very palatable either. So I like the idea, but...
I'll definitely have him throw some different numbers and he can show them to us.
Because
it's all in their spreadsheet. It's really quick.
We get to 75% over 3 years rather than 73, maybe that... You know, it's a little bit better.
Yeah.
And it might not be
35-3, right? 25-25-25.
And the idea is that on this public meeting, it is for a 5-year rate increase, basically. So you don't have to have a public meeting every year at this.
This is what's happening over the next.
This is our rate increase. Rather than having the rate increase in 1 year. We're spreading it over 5 years, so automatically next year, whatever this rate is, it'll increase to that. 2027, whatever it's approved, will increase to that without having to hold a public.
And then people can budget it for the next 5 years.
Right, so then they know. What about on storm drain fees proposed? This is fee. Currently, we don't have one. 2025. It's on the very last page.
I was fine with that one. That one I didn't.
Okay with that. 0%. 8888.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, implementing the $3 fee first year, so that's why it's 0%. But it's the first fee.
Yes. Correct. Okay. All right. I'll have them run the 25% for the first 3 years and see what that does.
I'd just like to see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I'll have conversations with him, and maybe even next board meeting we can start to advertise and have this information for you so you can make a decision. I think that's really the percentage of the increase is really what you guys want to see before we move forward, right? See what effect it has. So I think that will be easy to produce in a timely manner.
I think if we had both of those at our next meeting, we could just say, okay, let's move forward and one of them, right?
Okay.
Sorry, but in order to meet that March billing time frame, we need it before that February meeting, wouldn't we? Because we have to notice it for 2 weeks. And
well, yeah, we would do all the noticing. It would take place in February. I'll have to look at the calendar and do the noticing, but...
Sure. But if that took place in February and we're not going to look at this until the second or third week in February, we'd be behind, is what I'm pointing out.
Yeah, so I will have this updates for you within a week.
Yeah,
okay. Okay.
Email. And then I'll send those to the email.
Okay.
And then if we have to have a special meeting between now and our next regularly scheduled board meeting, we can do that.
Just so we can meet the timing. Yes. Because I want to hit
the... roll the time back from our noticing period, from everything, yeah. And then...
Then we meet your second quarter billings.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay.
Good.
Just in time for summer.
Yeah.
Item 7, update on sewer treatment alternatives.
So...
Septic tanks.
What's that?
Bring them back.
Yeah.
We have looked pretty good thoroughly at least three options. There are still some missing parts and pieces to bring cost estimates back to you with pretty diagrams and things like that. The object of all of this is to give you the alternatives that are the most logical alternatives to upgrade your treatment plant. Right now the number is 2.7 million gallons per day that we've talked about. That is this theoretical, well, it's not really theoretical, it's kind of technically based. It's the hinge point where your head workstation is sized, your screens are sized, your channels in your station are sized. Generally speaking, your lagoons are sized, everything's sized for a cap of 2.7 million gallons per day. We've talked about going up to 3.2 to 3.5 million gallons per day with some tricky changes in your weir elevations and stuff like that, kind of coming up on the edge of your hydraulic retention time. So that's still possible, but for simplicity, 2.7 is what the treatment plant was originally designed to be expanded to. It is also the number that coincides with population projection in Stansbury Park. So when you draw this, like I said, box around Stansbury Park and you project out to build out, it converges with 2.7 million gallons, and that's how it all came to be. So that's the number that we're working on. Mainly because we've discussed having Ochre Point be a temporary connection that would tap into that 2.7 million gallons and then get off over time so that you can use that capacity for your district. Okay, so that's the premise. And so there's three quick, I'm not gonna take a lot of time. There's three options that we've looked at so far. One is to go to a mechanical activated sludge treatment plant. That's your conventional treatment plants where you've got, well, I won't go into all of it. I'll save that for the presentation. But it's just standard mechanical treatment plant. It's consistent with everywhere else in the country. And we've got some costs associated with that. We'll refine those and bring that to you. It's coming in pretty close to a unit cost per gallon that we thought right in that zone that we expected. The second option was to take advantage of your lagoons without going to a mechanical plant, but addressing the nutrient removal of phosphorus and ammonia that you're now required. That's the big driver of why you're looking at doing this. Otherwise, we'd go out and we'd throw some more diffusers and put another blower in your pump station, and you get to 2.7. The problem has been the discharge limits on phosphorus and ammonia that you cannot meet with that prior upgrade vision. That's why we're looking at all this. We can get there with this system that we've been talking about with Clint Hopkins. They have some proprietary equipment and phosphorus removal media chambers and things like that looks very promising. It's not the cheapest option, but it's a lot simpler and a lot cheaper than a mechanical treatment plant. They think they can also get up to 3.5 million gallons with some expansion, and that, so it does give you a little bit of the room. The third option was wetlands expansion, and we were hoping that would be a good option. You could then go and upgrade the lagoons like we wanted before, and then take care of nutrient removal and wetlands. Well, the district has engaged our consultants, they're wetland scientists and know how to calculate uptake of plants and things like that. And we asked them to do an analysis. They did and gave us their report back. And the bottom line is that there's not a lot of confidence that they have given us in the ability to go forge ahead, spend the money, and then have this variability in temperature and dependability. I mean, plants are plants. They grow, they don't grow, the temperature, you can't control. At the end of the day, it's not as reliable, and they recommended that we would need to do a pilot study for a season, and basically you need to spend enough money to open up one of your cells and build a wetland in it, and then do a wetland study to gain the parameters of how to confirm that our assumptions are correct and then build the rest of it. So that's one drawback. The other drawback is they found that the phosphorus worked with mid-70 something acres of available space that we have, but ammonia did not. And we needed about 97, almost 100 acres of land. So you're short 20-ish acres of area. And that's just to get to the assumptions that we think are correct without the pilot study. So you didn't really, there's not even any wiggle room in that. So at the end of the day, and then we talked about cost. They gave us some cost and what it cost to build and construct wetlands. And, you know, it's not a lot. It doesn't look like it would be a lot cheaper than the Lemmy system, which is the control system that would take care of it, and a little bit of chemical addition and the alum and all that stuff. So that's the long and short of it. There is an additional option of full containment that Brett thinks is a good idea. I think it's a good idea to investigate it and see if there's an option to lease some silt land or buy some silt land and control that and look at the cost of that to fully impound all of it, and you would have no discharge, so you don't have to worry about your nutrient removals. So with all that said, the process is pretty well established on most of the components of this. We met with the Gorman Rupp Pump representative. You've got to deal with your existing network station on all of these, and so we've got some good news this morning. They ran some tests to create a system curve and crunch some numbers on their calculator to determine that they think we can replace the motors on your existing pumps. We don't have to replace the pumps. May have to replace the VFD cabinet, but it's a lot more promising and cheaper alternative than what we assumed we were going to have to do last board meeting, which is to replace your pumps, rebuild the manifold, build a 14-inch line all the way to your ponds, drill out an extra wide hole in your foundation, blah, blah, blah. So that's good news. That'll definitely reduce the cost of increasing capacity in your existing network station. So, but it gets you to about 2.7 again. So when we're talking about going up beyond that magical hinge point, then then you're talking a new network station. And so when the developer says we want to give you money and you can build some more lagoons, we'll help you find land, that's probably not the critical issue that you have to deal with. It's the mechanical components of your system that are going to come to their capacity at 2.7 million gallons per day. So hopefully we'll come back next time with all of this data from everybody and plugged into a PowerPoint presentation, so
yes,
you can make a decision on which direction to go. I realize we now have introduced another step. We'll see where that leads, but that's my report.
Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Approval, next item, approval meeting minutes December 17th, 2024. I was absent during that, so
I'll motion we approve the minutes for the December 17th, 2024 meeting.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Next item, number nine, approved budget hearing minutes of December 17th, 2024.
I'll motion that we approve the budget hearing minutes for our meeting December 17th, 2024.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Passes. Approval of financial and warrants. Any updates to that, last minute updates or anything?
Yeah. Yes. It was the big numbers, the public employment health program. Did we just miss December's? Is that why it jumped? Or are we paying 2 months?
Yeah, it's 2 months.
That's so, what it appears to be.
Yes, so what we need to do for auditing purposes is separate any work that was done in December on December and any work after in 2025 that can be on January. So that's why there's two. That makes sense. Should have been two in here. Maybe she didn't end up.
There's two. There's 1/15 and then 12/16. Okay. Our meeting was on 12/17, yeah. So it just didn't make it to that last payment. I'm assuming is that
that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
And the delta there. I mean, everything else I looked through here is $300 here, $500 there, but this is the $35,000. It's the delta that appears to be at the end from what we received last Friday.
Yes.
Thursday or Friday. But.
And I thought she provided all the
highlights. They're
highlighted. Yeah.
They're highlighted.
All's good.
I motion to approve the financials and warrants dated January 21st, 2025 for the total of $109,032.97.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Next item, number 11, public comments, petition, and communications.
I don't have any communications.
Okay. Brings us to our final item.
All motion. Yeah.
Awesome. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We are adjourned.
The meeting is adjourned at 5:12 p.m.